respond to the Lord in a special way by being added to the body of Christ or recognizing that sin is a part of your life and you need to turn away from whatever it is, that you do that. If you need prayer, whatever your need is, then Jesus is the one that can take care of all of our needs. For indeed, God sent him to the world so that the world through him could be saved. So we thank God then for our Heavenly Father. And tonight, that's what I want to talk about. I want to talk about the need to please our Heavenly Father. And we can't please the Father unless we please the Son. And since God speaks to us through his Son, then we need to be about the business of pleasing his Son. And in pleasing his Son, then we will be a servant of him, doing those things that he has specified for us to do in his word or in his will. We need to remind ourselves then that there's a grave danger of pleasing anybody else at the expense of pleasing Christ. So there's a danger then of pleasing others, putting others above our Lord and our Savior Jesus Christ. Paul said it like this in Galatians chapter 1 and verse number 10 when he wrote to the churches of Galatia. He says, "For do I now persuade men of God? Or do I now seek to please men? For if I yet please men, I should not be the servant of Christ." Paul was stressing the idea through inspiration, the need to be concerned about pleasing Christ and not men. Our focus need to be then upon pleasing Christ. Brother James, great lesson on this afternoon's radio program, and he was talking about focus. And we need to keep focusing upon the real thing, and the real thing is to please our Heavenly Father and to please Christ. Yes, indeed, there is a danger of pleasing others. Now, it would be so good if we could please everybody that we came in contact with without displeasing God, but that's not the case. And the reason why it's not the case is because the devil is a lie, and the devil influences people not to be satisfied with the things that we do that are contrary to the way that they think or the way that he's influenced them to think. Thereby, then, we must make a choice as to whether we are going to please God or whether we are going to please someone else who would desire for us to go along with them or to think like they think, talk like they talk, walk like they walk, you know, do the things that they do. We must make a decision as to whether we are going to please our Lord or if we're going to please others. Well, if we are led to believe that it's all right to please others and displease God, I want to, hopefully in this lesson tonight, help us to remember that that's not the right thing to do, because there is a grave danger in pleasing others. I want to talk about a few people who went out to please others, went about to please others tonight, and of course, end the lesson by saying again that let's make sure that our focus is to please our Heavenly Father. We all remember King Solomon, don't we? We all remember him, King Solomon, David's son, who came, of course, to the throne after his father passed away. And he began to reign there. But in his tenure of reigning, something happened along the way that caused him to be in trouble with God. He set about, in 1 Kings chapter 11, pleasing others rather than pleasing God. When we look at those scriptures there, and we'll not look at all of them, but when you look at the first 13 verses, you'll find some things in there that happened in Solomon's life that got him in trouble with God, because he was attempting to and did succeed in pleasing other folk rather than God. Well, number one, the very first person that he pleased was himself. And usually that's what happened. You know, when we displease God, the first person we please is ourselves. We please ourselves because it's something that we have decided to do or something that we want to do to satisfy ourselves, whether it be selfish lust or for selfish gain or whatever the case may be. It's all about pleasing us. But the Bible says, as Jesus said on one occasion, that if we're going to be his disciple, we must deny ourselves and take up our cross and follow him daily. But Solomon went about to please himself. Notice what he did. In verse number 1, the Bible says, but King Solomon loved many strange women, together with the daughter of Pharaoh, women of the Moabites, Ammonites, Edomites, Zidonians, and Hittites. The King Solomon, the Bible says, loved many strange women. What was he doing? Pleasing himself. He got attracted to all of these strange women, and he loved them, the Bible says. And in pleasing himself, we notice not only did he love them, but he married too many women. Verse number 3, the Bible says this, and he had 700 wives, princes, and 300 concubines, and his wives turned his heart away from God. He married too many women. In the beginning, when marriage was instituted, it was instituted one man for one woman. In the book of Genesis, chapter 2, and verse number 23 and 24, the Bible there says that, and Adam said, this is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman because she was taken out of man. And then the next verse says, therefore shall a man leave his father and his mother and shall cleave unto his wife. Did we notice that? Cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh. One woman. That was God's marital, covenantal relationship, if you will. But Solomon, the Bible says, not only did he have one, but he had 700. 700 wives. Well, not only did he, as he pleases himself, does he marry too many women, but he also married the wrong women. Is that such a thing as marrying the wrong folks? The Bible says this in verse number 2. These many wives that he had and these many concubines that he had, it says, off the nations concerning which the Lord said unto the children of Israel, you shall not go in to them, neither shall they come in unto you, for surely they will turn your heart or turn away your heart after their gods. Solomon clave unto these in love. So he married too many women. Then he married the wrong women. Folks that God says, don't enter into a covenantal relationship. In this land that they were in. God had said that. Back in Deuteronomy chapter 7, he had given that prohibition that they were not to intermarry. But Solomon, because he wanted to please himself, as he loved these women, he married the wrong women. God has said, now, if you do that, they'll turn your heart away from me. I don't know what he was thinking. Maybe because he had all of this wisdom that God had blessed him with, maybe he thought that he'd be able to handle that. But if he did, he knew more than God. Because God had said, if you do this, they're going to turn your hearts away from me. And sure enough, that's what happened. So he married too many women. He married the wrong woman. And in marrying all of these women, then you gotta please them. You know, in wives, one wife, one husband, they got to please one another. So Solomon got to please all of these wives. And in pleasing his wives, he began to compromise his faith. Notice what the Bible says concerning this in verse number 5. For Solomon went after Ashtoreth, the goddess of the Sidonians, and after Milcom, the abomination of the Ammonites. And Solomon did evil in the sight of the Lord, and went not fully after the Lord, as did David his father. You notice what it says? He went not fully. He was somewhat trying to still follow the Lord, but because he began to compromise his faith, going after these strange gods, he was not fully following the Lord. And that's what happens when we compromise our faith. We're not fully following the Lord. And in compromising his faith and in pleasing his wives, then since they are of the other nations, they got to have some gods too. So he built gods for his strange wives. Verse 7 and 8. Then did Solomon build an high place for Chemosh, the abomination of Moab, in the hill that is before Jerusalem, and for Molech, the abomination of the children of Ammon. And likewise did he for all his strange wives, which burn incense and sacrifice unto their gods. Solomon did all of this to please himself and to please others. And when he did that, he got in trouble with God because he did something God told him not to do. And verse number 9 shows the displeasure that God had with Solomon. The Bible says there, and the Lord was angry with Solomon because his heart was turned from the Lord God of Israel, which he had appeared unto him twice. God did not like this. When we please ourselves rather than God, when we please others rather than God, God does not like that. Solomon got in trouble with his God because he pleased others rather than pleasing God. Well, when one disobeys God, God has to punish individuals. And Solomon was punished because he disobeyed God. The Bible says in verse number 11, wherefore the Lord said unto Solomon, for as much as this is done of thee, and thou hast not kept my covenant and my statutes, which I have commanded thee, I will surely rend the kingdom from thee, and will give it to thy servant. Notwithstanding in thy days, I will not do it for David thy father's sake, but I will rend it out of the hand of thy son. In other words, what God was saying, that I'm not going to take the kingdom from you while you're alive, but I'm going to take it from your son. And the Bible points that out. So Solomon's disobedience laid the groundwork, if you will, for division in the children of Israel. Rehoboam was Solomon's son. And when Solomon died, the Bible says Rehoboam reigned in his stead. But he didn't reign long over all Israel. Because the Bible says when this happened, then the people called Jeroboam back to them and wanted to make Jeroboam king of all Israel. But then a question arose as to how the people were going to be treated. And so they asked to be treated fairly. This is found in 1 Kings chapter 13. They asked to be treated fairly, much better than their father had treated them. And they sought advice from the young men, and they sought advice from the older men. The older men gave them some good advice, but the younger men gave them some bad advice. And guess who they listened to? They listened to the younger men. And because of that, the kingdom became divided, and only one tribe followed the house of David, and that was the tribe of Judah. And this is what God was talking about when he's talking to Solomon, that I'm not going to take it away from you in your lifetime, but I'm going to take it away from you in your son's lifetime. And the kingdom became divided. I tell us tonight again that God is highly displeased when we go about pleasing ourselves and pleasing others at the expense of pleasing him. Be careful who we try to please. Be careful where our focus lies. Be careful what our main goal in life is. Is our main goal to please God? Or is our goal to try to please God and man? We just can't do it. That's the same thing as trying to serve God and mammon. Jesus said you can't do them both. You're going to hate one or love the other. Are you going to hold to one or are you going to despise the other? We need to make up our mind which one we're going to do. So King Solomon got in trouble trying to please others. But then we know about King Saul too, don't we? King Saul got in trouble trying to please others. Saul was sent on a mission to destroy some folks that had afflicted Israel as they came on their journey, the Amalekites. God was displeased with their treatment of his children as they came along certain areas coming through the wilderness. God sent Samuel to tell Saul to go down and destroy all of the Amalekites, kill everything they had, utterly destroy. Saul went on his journey, and he partially did what God told him to do, but he didn't do everything. God was displeased with that. I'm summarizing this because perhaps we know the story. I'm just trying to remind us again this evening to be careful as to who we are trying to please. So he partially obeyed God. But I tell us tonight again that partial obedience is basically total disobedience. We got to obey God all the way, not part of the way. And so he did not do all of what God told him to do. But he gave his reason for not doing it. He said, I respected the people. I feared the people. That word fear there, I respected the people. I respected their wishes more than I respected what God told him to do. He said, I respected, I feared the people. And he brought back some of the best oxen, if you will, or the best cow for sacrifice. And he brought back the king. But Samuel said to him, behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to hearken than the fat of rams. Well, did Saul really get in trouble for that? Yes, indeed, he did. The same thing happened to him as far as the kingship is concerned that would happen to Solomon. Not as it says, it didn't happen to Solomon in his days, but it happened to his lineage, to his son. He lost the kingdom because he went about trying to please the folks that went with him. The Bible says this in verse number 24. And Saul said unto Samuel, I have sinned, for I have transgressed the commandment of the Lord and thy words, because I feared the people and obeyed their voice. As a result, God rejected him from being king. Verse 26 says this, and Samuel said unto Saul, I will not return with thee, for thou hast rejected the word of the Lord, and the Lord has rejected thee from being king over Israel. I tell us this evening, it's an awful thing, it's a terrible thing to be rejected by God. We don't want to be rejected by God. We want God to accept us. But God will only accept us if we work righteousness. I believe that's what Peter said when he was up on the housetop, when it was revealed to him as he was trying to make a distinction as to whether he was going to go in, as the Jews would term it, to the unclean Gentile nation, when he saw that vision. Peter said it like this, I perceive that God is no respecter of person, but in every nation, he that worketh righteousness is accepted by him. So God will accept us if we work righteousness. Working righteousness means to do what God says. But here's Saul, who did not do what God said, and therefore God rejected him. It's a dangerous thing, again, to be rejected by God. The Bible says this, that God even became sorry that he had appointed King Saul to the reign. In verse number 35 of 1 Samuel chapter 6, 15, the Bible says this, and Samuel came no more to see Saul until the day of his death. Nevertheless, Samuel mourned for Saul, and the Lord repented that he had made Saul king over Israel. Can you imagine God becoming sorry because this man by the name of Saul had disobeyed him and he had made him king over Israel? Don't make God sorry because we disobey his will. Again, the Bible says this in the book of Ephesians, chapter 4 and verse number 30, I believe it is. Grieve not the Holy Spirit. When we disobey God, when we try to please others rather than God, we are grieving the Holy Spirit. We don't need to grieve the Holy Spirit. We need the Holy Spirit to be on our side. Don't grieve the Holy Spirit. God was sorry that he had made Saul king over Israel. And the Bible says this in verse number 16 of the same chapter. Then Samuel said unto Saul, stay, and I will tell thee what the Lord has said to me this night. And he said unto him, say on. And Samuel said, when thou wast little in thine own sight, was thou not made the head of the tribes of Israel? And the Lord anointed thee king over Israel. And the scripture goes on and says, and he sent you on a journey to destroy the Amalekites. And the question was asked, why didn't you obey him? I chose you when you were little, small, in your own sight. And I placed you in this position. Now, why would you just do what I tell you to do? God does not like disobedience. So we see King Solomon and we see King Saul trying to please other folks rather than God. But then when we come to the New Testament times in Jesus' lifetime, there were some there who did the same thing, who sought the pleasure of other folks rather than the pleasure of God. There were many rulers the Bible talks about in John chapter 12 and verse number 42. The Bible says this, nevertheless, among the chief rulers, it says many believed on him, but because of the Pharisees, they would not confess him, lest they should be put out of the synagogue. And the next verse says, for they love the praises of men more than the praises of God. They were concerned about pleasing men more than pleasing God. And I want to tell us this evening, if you love the praises of men more than the praises of God, you're in trouble with God. Let's not be in trouble with God. Yes, indeed. Many today know and believe what is right, but because they want the favor of other folks, they will not act upon and do what is right. It's just like Pilate. We remember him, don't we? During the trial of Jesus, Pilate knew that Jesus was not guilty. He says, I find no fault in the man. But he wanted to please the people. The people got to him and said, if you let him go, you won't be Caesar's friend. So he wanted to stay on the good side with Caesar. And so he delivered them to the people. I say to us this evening, I don't care how much someone else encourage us to do the wrong thing. Let's choose to do the right thing and stay on the side of God. Be careful in trying to please other folks at the expense of pleasing God. Paul said again, if I seek to please men, I should not be the servant of Christ. Don't we want to be the servant of Christ? To be the servant of Christ means to obey Christ. It means to do the will of the Lord. So Paul knew also well the danger of pleasing others. You see, it's Christ again that we must please, because it's Christ who is our Savior.
And again, we are taught in the Scripture that He saved those that obey Him. That means those that please Him. Let's be like Christ, as He said concerning Himself in John 8 and verse 29. I do always those things that please Him, talking about His Father. Yes, indeed, He's going to be our final judge. So as we go through life, brothers and sisters, let's make it our focus to please Christ. And if we please others along the way by not displeasing Christ, all well and good. But if we got to displease somebody, make sure we displease others and don't displease Christ. May God help us to be what He would have for us to be. If you're here then tonight, realize maybe that you've been caught up in this thing of trying to please other people, trying to stay in good favor with other folks, compromising your faith, going along with things just to get along with folks. We should never go along just to get along. We need to always do what is right so that we make sure that we please our Heavenly Father. Why? Because we want to go to heaven. We want to be saved. So if you're here tonight and you need to respond, we encourage you to come. Come right now while we stand and while we sing. Heaven, Jesus, all our sins and grief to bear.